Okay, welcome to Flying Saucers.
With you on too, Sophie.
A quick question, because everything looks nominal in here for the sensors, so I did unplug them like yesterday, but just wanted to give you the information that everything looks nominal before and after as well. I mean, good LEDs, no blinking stuff weird, or no disconnected USB.
Copy all. That's as expected, Sophie, and we saw the cycle down here, so thanks for your help.
Okay. And Phil, station on 2 for LSG.
With you on 2 for LSG.
The LSG work volume is deployed.
Copy, deployed.
Munich, station on 2. Will we remain on space to ground 4 for Echo?
Yes. Space to ground 4 is privatized, and your party is waiting for you. It will be... Correction, we are still working on the privatization of space to ground 4. That is the loop we plan to use, but give us just a couple minutes to privatize it.
Okay, copy. Yeah, I tried to call on 4 and I didn't get a response, so I figured that might be the case. Thank you.
No worries. We'll be with you soon. Station Houston, space to ground 2 for Echo Finder in Columbus.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, apologies if I used the wrong call sign there. This is Munich. we are following along with the privatized video, and we thank you guys for basically working through some of the initial steps already for Echo Finder. We are still working on the privatized enablement here on the ground, and we apologize for the inconvenience. I'll let you know when that's in place, but I wanted to also let you know that you can work all the way through step 6.13 before we need to pause for the remote guider.
Copy. We can work through 6.13. We do have a question first. We just noticed that there are actually two chess supports with chess cubes on them, and Sophie recalls that on their first sessions, Jack and Sophie both used the Echo Finder 2 Kit 1, and that is the chess support that was in that kit. However, yesterday, Jack and I used the chess support from Echo Finder Kit, so they have very similar names. Just wanted to double check which one they wanted us to use. I know we actually did have some problems with the cube that could have been due to the cube placement on me yesterday, so wondering which one you'd like us to use.
Okay, I'll check on that.
And just to give you a little bit more info, they do have the same serial number, but one is called Echo Finder 2, this QR cube, and the other one is called Echo Finder Chest Support.
Okay. So please use the Echo Finder 2 Kit 1.
Hey, copy. We will use that one. That's in line with what Sophie mentioned from previously, but just a note for the team that we did use the other chest support for both scans yesterday.
We copy the reminder. It will not impact the data, but appreciate you letting us know.
Houston Station, Jack's on 2 for storage.
With you on 2, Jack.
Hey, Lars, just so we're on the same page here for the next hour and a half, 2 hours as I'm doing the stowage. I think my intent is to first do the task list item JSB stow from PMM to Cygnus, and then do the PMM retrieve stow node items. And understand that we don't have an answer yet on whether those JSBs are permanent or temp stowed at Cygnus, so I'm just going to do my best to find a spot for them. Just want to make sure that that jives with where you guys want us to end up at the end of this stowage exercise this morning.
Yeah, looking through the stuff, still on an ISO, but it makes logical sense to me. I may give ISO a call just to verify it, but I think get started on that, and then if I've got anything for you, I'll give you a call back.
Okay, I appreciate it. Houston Station, Jackson 2 for some more JSB questions.
Go ahead, Jack.
Right, in the task list JSB movement, there were 5 to Tepsto and Cygnus. There's also 5 additional full JSBs that are in the PMM. And I know this is just a trade here. Do we want to keep the five more full ones in PMM, or do we want to keep the put them temp stowed in Cygnus towards the bottom? My sense is that we're more often going into PMM than we are deep into Cygnus, so it's better to temp stow those full JSDs down near the bottom of Cygnus. But I just wanted to check with you if that passes the check for today, if I could move those additional five, or you think I should hold off.
So I did get a hold of ISO, and to answer your older question, the JSDs that were in StowTrack will stay in Cygnus. We may not have permanent locations for them, but those will stay in there. In terms of the five additional ones, I think your logic is sound. So if it makes sense and it makes it easier in PMM, we can move those five full ones into Cygnus, and I'll let ISO know.
Okay. Sounds good. I will ask around just to make sure everyone's on board with that here, and then I'll probably just end up moving those five, and I'll just put that, all that stuff into recruiter notes so you guys have a sense of the numbers that I moved and where they roughly ended up in Cygnus.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll give ISO another quick call, and if he says it's a terrible idea, I'll give you a call back, but otherwise proceed with your plan.
Thank you, sir. Chris, on cue for E4D camera setup.
Phoenix with you on two.
Hey, I'm looking at my E40 camera setup task, and it's asking for VCA2. My understanding is that VCA2 is in use for Echo Finder. I should be able to get VCA1 set up. Wondering if that works, or is VCA2 actually free now?
We're checking.
Go back. That is totally fine. VCA1 is the one in use for Echo Finder. That's my fault.
No worries, and that lines up with what we were just discussing on the ground.
Sounds good. I'll get everything set up. Chris on 2 for E4D cameras. VCA2 and the call camera both set up. Welcome on board to let me know how the view is.
Thanks, Chris. We'll take a look and get back with you.
On Phil Fishing on 2 for Bancroft Stowage.
With you for Bancroft Stowage.
Just a question. The stowage note had me retrieve plate holder number 2 and adapter Charlie. I still have plate holder 1 in CTB 5540, and I'd rather use that one and just, like, right now, serial number 1 has adapter Delta on it and serial number 2 is adapter Charlie. I would rather just put adapter Charlie onto serial number 1 because that one has good resistance. If you remember last time I used plate holder 2, the knob on the back doesn't really function nominally, so it doesn't stay tight. So it's seal number 1 is much better. So if that's okay, I'll switch those.
And Jessica, yes, I remember us talking about the plate holder and the adapter, so we are good with your plan to continue to use plate holder 1 and just swap it out with adapter Charlie.
Okay, sounds good. So I will leave adapter Delta in 1.05540, and then I will return plate holder 2 to its location in JLP.
Sounds like a plan.
One other question. I retrieved the blue pipetter, and there's kind of like a residue. There's some, like, dried up droplets of something brown on the pipetter, like kind of underneath the metal part that removes the pipette tip. So if you guys are good with it, I'll just try to clean that off with a Sericide wipe. Or a Sani wipe.
Checking. And Jessica, before you get cleaning on it, could you bring that to the lab camera so we can get a view of it?
Sure thing. I was just going to offer a camera view, and FYI for that adapter Delta, in case someone else is looking for it, that's not me. It's in 5540. As I mentioned, I put it in the lid.
Copy, 5540 lid.
I'll float over the lab right now.
Much appreciated. And Jessica, we are taking a look at what you've shown us now.
If you're having a hard time seeing them, they're kind of right at the intersection of the metal part with they're underneath on the plastic part.
And Jessica, we see that and we're talking about it.
There's actually some on the top of the metal surface as well.
Station on still space to ground 2 for Jessica and Pipetter.
Go ahead.
Jessica, since we do not know what this substance is and we don't know when this was last used, we are going to go ahead and treat this as an HRL2 for unknown substance. So we need you in goggles, dust mask, silver shield, gloves, and then we'll have you wipe it up, and then we can give you those levels of containment, which would be 2 silver shield bags and an outer Ziploc.
Hey, I'm going to say that I'll do that if you really need me to. I really don't think it's necessary because something is going to be liberated. I could just easily wipe it with a sani wipe, and obviously I've already retrieved it. I've already touched the pipette. So I would recommend I'll just, you know, not touch it anymore and just wipe it with a sani wipe and definitely get it in all those layers of containment.
And Jessica, we copy. At a minimum, we'd like you at least in nitrile gloves while you wipe it up just for additional protection.
We copy. No problem. I'll do that.
Station Houston on Space 2 Ground 2 for Chris and E4D.
With Dan 2?
Yep. We had a couple of mods on the camera view. First, for VCA2, there's a CTB in the field of view. If you could move that so we could see the viz. So just have a clear line of sight between VCA2 and the viz. And then for the XF705, if you open the attached message that's in the activity, the 74-0770, on the last page, there's a good field of view reference for the XF705.
Okay, let me recheck that because I had that open and I thought this was what we're looking for with kind of like a look down on from the top of the viz. I mean, it's basically directly over the viz pointing down. Do you want it angled? Is that what they're looking for? I thought my understanding was that it should be a straight down view.
Yeah, today, if you go to the message at the last page, is actually more of an angled view, not a straight down view, so it's slightly different than the view that you had yesterday.
Okay, sorry, I think I looked at the wrong figure. Yeah, let me get that one set up.
Thanks.
Sorry, one more clarification on the view. I mean, this figure is showing the viz without E4D installed. The angle at which it looks like this is coming from, you wouldn't, I don't think, see anything because of E4D in the way. Is the goal to see the counter mass? What are the sort of the key features we're looking for? I'm just trying to figure out how to get that view with like the actual E40 device mounted on the viz.
Yeah, we're trying to get the counter mass in the view if at all possible. And understand, I think, yeah, that picture probably was taken before E4D was installed, so you've got a good read that we're trying to do the impossible, but we want the counter mass in the view.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. Let me know if that view works. I think it's in a reasonable position. I don't think it'll get hit by the device as I'm exercising.
And we're checking the view. Give us a second, Chris. And Station Houston on 2 for Chris.
2.
Yeah, sorry, we had a little KULOS there. But if you could tilt the camera down and to the left just a little bit, they're looking to get the entire counter mass in the shot, if that's possible. And Station Houston on 2 for Chris. I think that's a good framing. We just want to zoom in a little bit, and I think we should be good with this view. Station Houston on 2 for Chris.
Chris on 2.
Sorry to go back and forth on this. The camera angle you had before had more of an edge-on view. I don't know if that is in a space that would be hard for you to actually be on E4D or not, but we're looking for a little more kind of down and in, if that makes sense.
I'll see what I can do. I mean, there's limited places you can put a camera here. And, you know, the counter mass is inside the rack, so I'll see what I can do. But, I'll go back to where I was before.
Yeah, no worries. If that was going to be impeding your ability to do the exercise, then I think that last view is probably the best we're going to get. But if it is possible to get to that first view, I think that would be helpful to the team down here. And then we've also privatized Space to Ground 4, so we'll move over to that.
Okay,
I'm on 2
for battery.
With you on 2.
I just wanted to check with you that battery maintenance is complete and I am go for termination.
Yes, you are go for termination and you're go in step 24.
Okay, you go step 24. Thank you. Huntsville Station on 2 for pipette clean.
With you on 2.
I labeled the bag has 2 and I guess I'll just put that in the WHC trash.
We can come.
Yeah, copy. And then just a note, there was quite a bit of that brown stuff like in between the plastic and the metal pipette tip remover. So I like slid a fanny cloth in there and wiped several times and just repeated until it came out clean. But so I think whatever it was, like it just kind of gotten underneath there and gone unnoticed.
We copy and we'll note it.
Houston Station on 2 for E4D.
With you on 2.
Yeah, just checking in. I forwarded over just to see if I could hear the difference between before and after. Last time when Chris was doing this, you know, when we noted those noises from the Viz, they were very loud. Like, you could hear them, like, anywhere in the module. And right now, it's pretty quiet. If I forwarded over there and got my ear really close, and it sounds like there's some really subtle noise that you can hear. So I think there is still some movement. Difficult to tell exactly where it's from, but I think it is probably still from those rollers. But again, it's significantly improved from before.
Copy all. Thanks for the report, Jessica. We're talking about it, and we'll let you know if there's any follow-up questions.
Yep, sure thing. I'll take another listen right now since Chris is at higher RPM. Station on 2.
Go ahead, Jessica.
Yeah, same kind of same thing at the higher RPMs. You know, when I poke in there, I'm sure you guys can see it in the camera view as well, you can see that the Y plates do move, you know, they're moving back and forth a little bit, and that's, I think, where the sound is coming from. It's a little bit difficult to tell exactly where it's coming from without, you know, kind of like reaching in there and touching stuff, which I'm not going to do while he is cycling, of course, but yeah, I think it is coming a little bit from that Y plate motion.
Okay, copy all. And then did it sound louder when it was at the higher RPMs, or can you not really tell?
Not really a significant difference.
Okay, copy all. Thanks for the report, Jessica. Station Houston on 2 for Jessica.
Houston Station, you could have Jack for a minute for a question instead, if you'd like.
Yeah, actually, I need... Jessica heard something from that she thought was the Viz, and Chris thinks it wasn't the Viz, and he was going to try to do another run and basically stabilize where he thought the sound was coming from, and we just wanted her to basically stick her head back down in the Viz and see if she heard the sound or not.
Okay, that sounds like right now. Is that what you're saying?
We were going to have Chris hop back on in probably the next couple minutes before this LOS in 10 minutes.
Okay, that is in work, and separately, can I ask a question?
Yeah, Jack, what do you got?
When PMM retrieved Stone Oaks, I was unable to find the item in line 6 and the item in line 8. Hoping that, I don't know if there's another suggestion of where I could find this, or if you think it's not in these bags. But, like, getting to this half CPD inside the MOT bag in Deck 4 is quite an adventure, so I can put it all back, but that, you know, it's going to be 20 minutes of work, you just put it all back. So if there's a chance that it's in that MOT bag, it's somewhere else, be nice to know before I put stuff back.
All right, we'll take a look real quick, Jack, and get back to you before you pack it all back up.
Thank you.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack and Stowage. Station Houston on 2 for Jack and Stowage.
Yes, sir.
Yep, just following up on lines 6 and 8 from your PMM activity. We do think that those items are in that bag, so maybe look extra hard in the bag. We will note that line 7, if you did find that, is in the same outer Ziploc as line 6, so it may be in there. But we don't have any other search locations for that, and we also think that these items were flown up in those bags, so they shouldn't have moved around. But you know how things work on station.
Okay. line 7 was not in a Ziploc bag when I found it. It was just loose in the half CTV 4237. And that bag, 237 half CTV, that was in the MO2 bag in deck 4, that one has clearly been in and out of for, you know, for half a decade. The other 1.0 CTV in line 8, that one's definitely, all that stuff's brand new, like, just flew up, like you said. And I will triple check that I am not missing the trending sensor. I did find RH trending sensors that don't match that barcode in the CTV from line 6, but it's not the same barcode. Okay, I will just double check again.
Okay, copy all, and we'll talk about those words to you and see if we have any other items. Thanks, Jack.
Sir, I appreciate the help.
And Station Houston on to you for Jack, and one more go back on the stowage.
Bias, I am with you, sir. What do you got?
So we were not expecting to find those other RH trend-in sensors. So if you just want to grab one of those and call it good for line 8, and just tell me what the barcode or seal number is on it and the crew note, I think that'll close out line 8 for us.
Okay, I can do that. And then obviously still waiting on an answer on line 6. There's a whole bunch of empty bubble wrap bags from previous sensors, it looks like, that are in this half CTV 4237. Happy to just take out a relative humidity trending sensor and call it good. Also happy if you guys want to take the time while it's out of the MO2 bag, out of deck 4, to clean this bag out. But if that's too much for today, then I'll just grab the trending sensor and move on.
Okay, we'll keep talking about that one and get back to you. I'll try to stop bothering you during your lunch. But I do like seeing that mustache coming through that hatch. So.
You never bother me, man. I like to hear your voice. It always makes me smile.
Cheers, Nate.
And Station Houston 2, Colonel.
Station Houston on 2, good afternoon, Sophie. How can we help you?
Hi, sorry. I would love to have a go on step 2.3.1 for the SOC mesh replacing hard drive.
Copy that, Sophie. We have sent the command that to turn it off. If you're not seeing it off, you can go ahead and power it off yourself.
Copy. Yeah, I see it off. That's right.
Great. You have a go to proceed.
Copy. Good to proceed.
Sail station jacks on 2. In step 2 of my Nevada VR vision screening, the power status LED is blue.
Jack, also with you. Copy blue LED. You go to press with the procedure.
Hey, thanks. Houston, Chris on 2 for the event.
Chris, we're with you on 2.
Hey, hopefully it works for you guys, but change of scene, we're going to be in the airlock, so node 1 cam for this one, if that works.
We copy that. Thanks for the heads up.
Houston station, Cynthia 2 for step 2.6.1.
Sophie Houston's with you on 2.
Looking for the go in step 2.6 now.
And Sophie, you are go in 2.6. Thank you.
Okay.
Station Houston, this is Congressman Rob Whitman.
Hey, Mr. Congressman, it's great to hear you. It's great to see you. Welcome aboard the International Space Station.
Chris, it's great to be here on Earth watching you all. Thanks for the incredible work that you're doing. Just absolutely amazing.
Oh, we really appreciate it. Yeah, so I'm here with Jack and Jessica. We're really glad we can share some of the work we're doing up here and some of all the great things we're doing at NASA with you. So it's really great. We're having a wonderful time up here. We're in our airlock on the space station. We're actually just getting ready to do a spacewalk in a couple weeks. So we're getting these suits and all these tools ready to go outside and do some repairs.
Wow, that's exciting. I know all the hard work that goes into preparing for that and what it's like to live there in space, so we are just amazed and excited about the great work that you all are doing.
Thanks so much. I hope you're enjoying a nice trip at JSC today and you had some time to see some of the local highlights that we can offer at JSC. Of course, Mission Control is one of them, so we're very happy to be talking to you today.
It's great to be here. What an amazing operation, and to enable what you all do in space there is it takes a lot of coordination, a lot of hard work.
That's definitely true. We're pretty privileged to be up here, you know, just a couple people up here on the International Space Station. But as you go around JSC today, you can see, you know, the thousands of people that make this all work, and that's just part of the piece. You know, we got NASA centers all over the country, including in Langley, and that do great work and support us constantly. So we're excited to be part of this great NASA team.
Well, we are always excited about all the great work that goes on at NASA Langley, but it's a great team effort to enable what you all do, and it's exciting times for space exploration, especially manned space exploration here in the United States. So, you know, I always remember one of the big exciting points in my life was when my father allowed me to stay up to watch Neil Armstrong step foot on the moon, and I remember that vividly on old black and white flickering TV to watch Neil Armstrong step off of the lunar module there, and I'm like, man, this is so cool. And from that point, you know, it inspired me to go on, which I did, to become a scientist. So I appreciate what you all do, inspiring youth today and accomplishing these pretty complex missions there, advancing science and advancing manned missions outside the Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us can echo that sentiment. I mean, I know I also, I mean, I didn't get to watch it on TV, but I mean, a lot of those Apollo missions and sort of the early history of space exploration really inspired me as well to become a scientist. And, you know, that was not something that I had ever thought about as you know, that might be possible as a career field. None of my parents or grandparents were scientists, but space exploration inspired me, and I'm really excited. I mean, as you said, it's a really exciting time right now in human space exploration. And I'm really hoping that we can give a moment like that to the next generation. I mean, the number of kids that I think will aspire to become scientists and just to be their best selves because they see the things we can do. I think, you know, as Jack said, it's just an absolute honor to be a part of something that is doing such a good thing, I think, for everyone.
Yeah, I think it is incredible to see the things that are happening today with the advancements in science, with the advancements in AI, and the things that we're going to be able to do, and the things that you all are able to accomplish in space that add to that. I think it's absolutely incredible. And as you said, this is the time of inspiration for the next generation of scientists, so pretty exciting time.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of what Chris was just talking about with the Artemis II mission being so successful and sparking that moon joy in humans all around the world. And it was equally as exciting for us up here on the International Space Station getting to speak to our friends and colleagues from our spacecraft to their spacecraft and just, you know, knowing that they were accomplishing something so great that was really capturing the excitement of so many people. So I think we're really at the precipice of another inflection point, hopefully equally as important as the Apollo missions.
Yeah, I agree. This is really a point in history where we see a renaissance in all things related to space. So we appreciate what you all do and keeping that momentum going. And as you said, exciting times with the Artemis mission and then the International Space Station mission and kind of crossing paths there is pretty amazing stuff.
Thanks for coming to visit, sir. We really do appreciate the opportunity we get to talk to you and other congressmen and share our story about how awesome space exploration, how much we love it, how much we love being part of the team and representing our country and all of humanity up here in low Earth orbit and beyond.
Well, that's great. We appreciate the incredible work that you all do. Keep up the great work. We'll do our part to make sure we continue to support you and make sure NASA continues in this incredibly important mission for the nation and for the future of mankind. We really appreciate it. I'll let you all get back to work. I know you have busy schedules there, but thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to share a few words.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's really our pleasure. And, hope you have a wonderful rest of your day at JSC.
Thanks again.
Going to pose for a photo really quick, so if you can hang out for just a minute. There we go. All right, just give us a minute. We'll let you know when we're done. All right, say cheese. All right, we're all set. Thank you, guys. We'll let Chris do whatever trick he was going to do. Sorry about that.
Houston, the station, Sophie on 2 for SSCNS.
Houston's with you on 2, Sophie.
This is CNS high directional SWIP is complete, and our on is complete as well. All is nominal in here.
Awesome. Thank you for your hard work, Sophie. We are seeing good indications on the ground.
Okay, and just to let you know, I not only repeated the number 4, but also all of them, because there was a ton of dust. And so I actually had to go grab the vacuum cleaner and to vacuum all of them. So I received them all one by one to be sure that I placed them all in the right spot. But just a heads up of what I did.
Thank you for the note, Sophie. We appreciate the extra work.
Phoenix Station, Sophie and 2 for Echo Finder.
Sophie, Phoenix with you on 2. Bonjour.
Bonjour, bonjour. I see that there is good progress for the files. I see 52%, and just wanted, 76%. That's great. How does it look like on your side?
We're checking. Station Munich, on space to ground 2 for Sophie and Echo Finder.
Sophie's with you on 2.
Hey, Sophie. Thanks for checking in and giving us those readings. The processing here is still ongoing, and we still need some time, at least 30 more minutes, to do the commanding. So at this time, we're still no-go to proceed with the stow. But, yeah, after at least 30 minutes, we can get back to you on whether we're in a good readiness to proceed. I'll copy.
That's great news, yeah. Please give me a call when it's all ready, and I think I'll do this stow task earlier. And thanks a lot.
Will do. Thank you.
Cell station, Jack's on 2 for auxiliary.
Go ahead on 2, Jack.
And the transfer and stowage part of my task here today in line 3 of the insert steps in Melfi 1 and Jamdeck 4. 4, Charlie, Trace 3 and 4 had a single auxilium already in there, and then a whole bunch of Ziploc bags labeled something like auxilium bioprinting. And so I was unable to fit the auxilium cartridges, numbers 10 and 11 in there, and I put them in 4 Charlie trays 1 and 2 for the moment, and interrogative if that's where you want me to leave them or you want me to put them somewhere else.
Checking. And Jack Hunsel's back with you. We'll take a look into that for now. We'll just release you back to your timeline. No concerns, since February is the same temperature. But while I have you, could you confirm, per your crew note, that the NVDS headset is Velcroed to the wall within its phone box?
It's in the phone box in Velcro to the wall, plugged into the multi-port charger through the phone box.
Perfect. Thank you so much for the clarification. We're in a good config.
Great.
Airlock on 2.
This is with you on 2, Jessica. Good afternoon.
Yeah, we're just looking for your actions in 24.2 of 1.403.
And we are ready for you. We've completed those steps. And while I have you, Chris did ask a question in evening DPC yesterday about a return Ziploc bag full of wipes. We can go ahead and throw those away at your earliest convenience.
I copy. We will throw those away. Thanks, Sonny. And we're proceeding with step 25.
Houston, airlock on 2. We are holding for your go in step 32.
Copy that, Chris. And good afternoon to you. We need about 2 minutes, and we'll get back to you shortly.
Hey, fantastic afternoon to you as well, and we can give you 2 minutes. No problem. Houston Station, Jackson 2 for PMM retrieve stowage line.
Mr. Hathaway, we're with you on 2.
Sir, I am line 6 and 7 in the HAPTTP 4237, where I found the relative humidity trending sensor. That was supposed to be a different TTP, but this morning chatting with the team, I found it in this one in 4237. And that's a clock. That bubble wrap bag is now empty, and there were several other empty bubble wrap bags that were in the CTV. One's labeled O2 sensor with cable airlock. The other is AdLink CO2 sensor, USB cable, and sensor. Are we expecting these items to return to these Ziploc bags so I should save them, or can I put bubble wrap bags into the bubble wrap bag pantry?
All right, Jack, we copy all. Yep, so you can go ahead and put those in the bubble wrap pantry, and then we'll ask you to temp stow the CTB at any place you recommend in PMM for us to schedule a reorganization task for you at a TBD time and date.
4237 CTB or the 4340 CTB? Those are the two CTBs that are in line 6 through 8 that I've been digging through for these airlock sensors and cables.
We're checking. Yeah, Jack, copy all. Earlier when you had made the suggestion that one of them was messy, we assumed that was 4237, and that's the one we were asking you to temp stow. But if you think we need to temp stow both so that we can reorganize them at a later date, then you can temp stow both.
No, 4237 was the messy one, and that was in the MO2 bag, so I'm happy to leave this half CTB out. But in order to restore the PMM to its original condition, I'm going to bury that MO2 bag underneath a whole bunch of other ones in deck 4 of the PMM. And it sounds like that's what you guys want. I just want to double check.
That sounds like a good plan. Thank you, sir.
Awesome. It'll work.
Airlock Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris. We are go in step 32 of your reboot procedure.
Go in 32. Thank you very much.
Huntsville, station on 2 for Dunkirk.
Good afternoon, Jessica. Huntsville's with you on 2. We are go to get started on BIM carts, and Shankini is standing by on Space to Ground 4.
Got to go, and I'll meet Shankini on 4. Thanks.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for BIM carts.
Well, Chris, we're with you on 2. Not quite ready for your assist activity yet, but we'll give you a call once Jessica's ready.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to start getting stuff prepped for my EMU helmet clean. Just if you can give me as much heads up as possible so I can switch over to the assist when possible, that will work great for me.
Copy all, Chris. We'll give you a heads up when we're getting close to the needing you over at LSG. Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and BIM carts. We'll need your activity, your first assist activity executed here within the next 5 minutes.
So Chris, copies on 2.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and BCRT.
Chris on 2.
Hey Chris, we estimate that Jessica will be ready for the next set of cell bags in approximately 10 minutes. If you'd like to go check with her here in about 5 or 6 minutes just to see where she's at, I think that would be the best way to proceed to make sure we're protecting the science.
Sounds good. I will pop over there in about 5 minutes, see where she is at, and keep working on the other tasks until then. Thank you.
Thank you. Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Jack and Columbus Special Questions.
Jack on 2.
Hey, Jack, a quick question for you while you're there working on the ISS HAM HDMI changeout. We have an activity tomorrow at Columbus Deck 0, real close to where you're working, to clean up the Columbus smoke detectors. We're just curious if you think that there's going to be any spatial conflicts with where you're setting up the hardware today and in Sophie's activity there right inside the hatchway tomorrow.
Right. Not sure at the moment, but I understand the question, and I will let you know as this goes along.
Copy. Thank you.
Huntsville Station, Jackson 2 for Step 5 of the HAM HDMI converter removal.
And we're with you in Step 5, Jack.
Sorry, Step 6. I'm not entirely sure where the NTSC video and stereo audio signal cable P03 is. Any suggestions?
And we're checking on that, Jack. Jack Huntsville's back with you. You should find that stereo audio C cable at Cole F1 Lima 2.
That's So, okay, I'm in that area. I presume you don't mean that it's in the L2 storage drawer. I presume that's just it's somewhere attached to the AM video blue box. Just wondering, do you guys have a figure or something somewhere that might show me where it is connected, or is it indeed a loose cable?
And Jack, we're tracking that that is a loose cable in the Lima 2 drawer.
Okay, checking. Huntsville Station, Jackson 2, you already found the NTSC video and stereo auto cable. One end is labeled P04 2 ham video. I presume the other end is P03, but it's not labeled, and I'm not really sure where the P04 that it's going to be connected to is at.
Okay, Jack, we copy the labeling on the cable. It's a little confusing on one end. Give us a second to verify. And Jack, Huntsville's back with you on 2. It might take us a few minutes to track down the answer for this cable location and its connection location. In the meantime, we're about 2 minutes out from a 17-minute LOS, so if you'd like to get started on your next two POIC or MSFC activities, you're going to do that while we track this down.
Okay, thanks.
Station Huntsville on 2 for Jack and Ham Video.
Back with you on 2.
Hey, Jack, I think we've got this figured out. So you were correct about that cable. The unlabeled side is, in fact, the PO3 side, and that will be going into the PO4 slot of the Ham Video box. And then if you didn't figure it out in the subsequent activity from this, the camcorder setup, the P4 labeled side of that cable is what's going to be plugged into the camcorder.
See a J04 on the Ham Video box, but I do not see a P04.
Copy. Checking on that.
Chris on 2 for Gale.
This is with you on 2, Chris.
Hey, a quick question. I'm looking and it says I should be able to check JEDI 74-0702 for info on how to get the feed of the event up, but we don't seem to have that message on board. Is that just VME TV telling us to log into or something else?
Copy that, Chris. We are checking.
Jack, console's back with you on 2. J04 is correct. Apologies about the procedure mislabel.
Okay, so into the J04 slot. One more next question for you. So I've got the XF305 camcorder for my PMM guide. Assuming you want me to install it on a multi-use bracket, but it does not have the adapter to slide onto the multi-use bracket. I did a little IMS sleuthing, but I could not... camera mount rail slide was something that I found that didn't quite fit onto it, so I need some sort of adapter, I think, that connects the camcorder to a multi-use bracket.
Copy, Jack. Our stowage officers checking into that. If you wouldn't mind, we can take the rest of this conversation over to Space to Ground 3 so that you can use 2 for PAO coordination. That'd be great.
Okay, switching to 3.
Airlock Houston on Space Ground 2 for Chris and PAO.
With you on 2.
Hey, Chris. We weren't able to get that message on board to you in time, so it should now be in your email. Let us know if you got it so that you can access the Teams link.
Okay. I think if it's, like, in our email for a Teams link, that'll probably take a little bit because we have to copy it over and get it so we can get it on our iPads. So I think that might not be workable in the time we got. I'm ready for seated voice, and I can see if I can, if I have a moment, I'll see if I can grab it in time.
Copy that, Chris. We are going to work to try to get it on board via the normal message process. And we are ready for seated voice. Awesome stuff, Chris. That is a good seated voice. Thank you very much.
Copy. I'll just see if I can grab the link from my email real quick.
And, Chris, we were able to expedite that message for you. Message 0702 is on board.
Station Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie and Echo Finder at your convenience.
Go ahead, I'm 2.
Hey, Sophie. We're just getting back to you on the Echo Finder story. Our processing from ground is complete, so you can step into the Echo Finder STO activity when you're ready. And with that, give us a call when you're at step 2.1 of the activity, as we have some deltas for you. I'll copy.
Yeah, I'll call you back when I start the activity, probably in 10 minutes or so, but I'll let you know. I'll call you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Piccirillo, superintendent of Newton, and we're over the moon to join the Andover and Green communities for this downlink. NASA is central to our Tri-District's legacy. We're the alumni of Nobel Prize-winning NASA physicist Dr. John Mather and thrilled to host our second downlink since 2012. The event aligns with America's anniversary, the excitement of Artemis II, but beyond that, it highlights our smallness in a vast world and teaches the humility and empathy we strive to instill in our students. Now I'll pass it to them.
Hello, my name is Tyler, and my question is, when you were in space, does it ever turn into a new normal for you mentally and physically, or are you always trying to get used to being space?
Thanks for the question, Skylar. Yeah, it actually does kind of turn into a new normal. You know, for me, it took a couple of weeks before you kind of get used to floating around and being in microgravity, but yeah, then after a couple weeks when you wake up in the morning, it just feels kind of normal to be floating to get your morning cup of coffee. The one thing that still never fully feels normal to me, though, is looking out the window at our Earth. I mean, every time I do that, I kind of still get goosebumps, and I'm really glad that doesn't quite feel normal yet.
Hello, my name is Eliana. My question is, how does your body adapt when it's returning to Earth's atmosphere?
Well, I can tell you that returning to Earth doesn't feel great, and I know this because I've done it once before. This is my second flight, so on my first flight, when I went back to Earth, I said something often, and I said, gravity is overrated, because it did not feel good. We were so used to weightlessness, and our bodies were so used to that. I was up here for 7 months, and then when you come down, you really feel the weight of gravity, and you just feel like you're being pushed down into the floor like the bully on the playground pushing down on your head. But your body adapts after a little bit of time, and it gets back to normal, but it doesn't feel great when you first get back.
Hello, my name is Lucas, and my question is,
what are the most useful skills learned during your training on implemented most on the International Space Station?
Thanks for the question, Lucas. So I think far and away the most important skill that we learn and practice in our training on Earth is teamwork. Up here, we are part of a really big team, not just with our other astronauts who are up here on the space station, but with people in mission control and ground centers and scientists and engineers all over the world. And, you know, the work that we get done up here only gets done because we can all work together to make the science and the experiments and the engineering happen. And so, you know, there's a lot of technical skills, a lot of, you know, skills with tools and things like that that we learn, but teamwork is by far and away the most important one. Okay, so, you know, it's, yeah, we don't wear shoes.
Hello, my name is Eliana. My question is, what are the long-term physical changes to astronauts after microgravity?
Well, thankfully, most of these changes that we experience in microgravity are quite reversible when we go back down to Earth, and we just have to readapt to that gravity. There are some things, though, that are quite hot topics right now that we're trying to research, and those are some changes to our eyes. So some astronauts, including me, after my first flight, have some changes to their vision and also changes to the anatomy in the back of the eye. And we want to make sure that we understand these things so that we can keep astronauts healthy on their missions and when they come home as well. So far, you know, we don't really have anything that are the permanent physical changes. We do kind of get right back into normal life when we get back there, but these things we are paying more attention to better understand.
Hi, my name is Jake. My question is, what's something about living on the International Space Station that you didn't even realize would be challenging until you experienced it?
Thanks, Jake. So one of the things that I think is one of the biggest challenges here is not losing things and keeping track of little bags. You know, on Earth, when you open a box and it has 10 different Ziploc bags in it, you know, you can kind of just search through it and find one. Here, you open a box with 10 Ziploc bags in it, they immediately all start floating away. And, boy, it is really hard to keep track of things. You know, I had a drink that I put down on the table and it floated away. It took me a week to find.
Hi, my name is Caleb, and my question is, how can experiments on the space station be used to improve technologies or materials we study here on Earth?
A lot of the research that we do up here applies not only to astronauts and space travel and the future of space travel, but also to life back on Earth. And a couple examples of that, first of all, protein crystal growth experiments. We can grow protein crystals up here that are larger and more pure. And so what that allows scientists to get imaging that they can better elucidate and discover binding sites for certain therapies, for therapeutic agents on proteins. So basically, that's pharmaceuticals, different drugs for different disease states like Alzheimer's, Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. And we've actually had some clinical trials that are in work now and have already been completed in the past based on the work that we've done up here on the International Space Station. So we are able to develop new drugs that can be used by patients back on Earth because of the microgravity environment.
Hi, my name is Renner. My question is, has being physically separated from Earth and still seeing it every
quite more of an environmentalist type attitude and standpoint after being up here. I was a very staunch environmentalist before this mission, but when you look out the window and you see that thin, tenuous band of an atmosphere that Chris spoke about, you know how fragile and beautiful our planet is and that we must protect it. And you also see how planet Earth is alone in the big black void of space, which is really, really quite minuscule in terms of our solar system and in the universe. And that gives you this perspective of, you know, that perspective shift to appreciate what we have and to realize that we are quite insignificant in the grand scheme of things.
Hi, my name is Miles. My question is, what is one way you've seen an object react in microgravity that would be impossible to replicate on Earth?
Well, there's actually some really cool physics effects that you can see in microgravity. So this one is due to something called the intermediate axis theorem, where this little thing here flips back and forth and up and down as you spin it. And that's not something you can easily see on Earth.
Hello, my name is Jack. My question is, what skills turned out to be surprisingly useful as an astronaut?
I think Chris already spoke about the most important one, and that's the skill of teamwork. But things that were surprising, you know, sometimes people think about all the different types of things we do, like fly airplanes and do spacewalks when as astronauts. But it's a lot of the little things that we do for our daily operations, fixing things, taking things apart, putting them back together, fixing the toilet, changing a light bulb, because we don't have a plumber or an electrician to call to come up here and help us with that. So we become really jacks of all trades, which is maybe not something people really appreciate about astronauts.
Hello, my name is Lena. And my question is, when trying to become an astronaut, did you experience any setbacks? If so, what made you persevere to try again?
Great question. So, yeah, I think all of us, every astronaut has experienced a bunch of setbacks. I know for me personally, I applied to be an astronaut 3 different times, and it was only on the last time that I got accepted to be an astronaut. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you kind of have to keep your motivation and keep pushing through. I think it's really important to not let getting bad news stop you. I think it's important to use that as motivation to try even harder for the next time. And I think that that perseverance can get you to where you want to get to. So don't never give up.
Hello, my name is Malajan. And my question is, how are unexpected technical problems handled during a mission?
Also incredibly rewarding. Chris and I did a spacewalk in March, and we're about to do another one in a couple weeks, so stay tuned and you can watch us do it.
Hi, my name is Sabrina. My question is, what is the most beautiful thing that you've seen in space?
That's a tough question because there's been a lot of really beautiful things that I've seen from up here. But I would actually have to say the Northern Lights are probably up there. We had a what's called a geomagnetic storm where the sun shoots out lots of particles and those will come in and hit the Earth's magnetic field. And back this past January, it made the Northern Lights glow so bright that it looked like we were just surrounded by this orange, red, green glow that was just dancing. And that was just an absolutely incredible sight. But I will say, every time I look out the window and see a different part of the Earth, man, there are just absolutely incredible, beautiful things about every part of our planet. So that's also just absolutely breathtaking every time you see it.
Hello, everyone. I'm John Mather, NASA's only Nobel Prize winner for measuring the heat of the Big Bang with a team of 1,500 people. And thank you to the astronauts on the space station. Your work is leading to exploring the moon and Mars in person and with robots. And courage to the students, you can do it. Go NASA.
Thank you so much. It's really been our pleasure, and these were amazing questions. We're so sorry that we didn't get to the last couple, but maybe we can send down some answers on email to you.
Station, this is Houston ACR. Thank you. That concludes our event.
Thank you to all participants. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications.
Station Hudson on Space to Ground 2. This is a hand-fast reminder for Chris for the rise time of 16:36.
Station, 16-2. I'm ready to copy the deltas for Echo Finder.
Hey, Sophie, and we're ready too. So, we were unable to shut down the Echo unit from ground. The remote connection here crashed, so we expect the Echo unit to still be on. So you'll need to turn it off, OFF, by doing a Windows shutdown, and you can do that by navigating to the Start menu, clicking Power Off, and shutting down.
Copy, we'll turn off by navigating Start menu and the nominal shutdown.
Good read back.
And with that, do I have to go into decimal one?
You are good with that step, and also while we have you, probably on your radar already, we're tracking the ProQR cube has been temp-stowed for drying, and just want to let you know that the home for that is in the Echo Finder 2 kit serial number 1.
That's already done. Thanks for the reminder.
Wonderful.
Huntsville Station, Jackson 2 for hand video.
We're with you on 2, Jack.
How confident are you guys that this 305 takes these 32 gigabyte flash cards? I couldn't find a slot for them on the device.
Well, Jack, we were fairly confident until you called about it, but let us confirm with Photo TV.
Okay, it looks like there's slots for compact flash cards. They're labeled CF, A in Bravo, or Alpha in Bravo, but I couldn't find one that fit an SD card. I don't know if there's an adapter or there's a slot in there that they can slide into. And second question, there's no battery and no power cord. I don't see a step in there for that, but should I be gathering a battery for this?
We're checking on that real quick, Jack.
Okay, and I'm going to punt on whatever the answer is until another time so I can move on with my timeline for now, but I just wanted to I'll get an answer at some point and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, Jack, we think that's a great plan.
Stand station on 2 for thermal and scrubber cleaning.
For R&R.
Houston's with you on 2, Chris, and we have completed that saving in step 1.2. You are go to continue.
Copy that. And are you okay if I use lab cam 2 instead of lab cam 1? I think that'll just be easier to position. If not, I can grab lab cam 1.
We are good with that plan. Station Houston on Spacecon 2 for Chris and Thermal Amine. Station Houston on 2 for Sophie and upcoming Stowage Conference.
Houston, Station Sophie on 2 with you for Stowage Conference.
Hey Sophie, just want to give you a heads up that for the conference, the execution note is incorrect, unfortunately. We'd like you to just go ahead and use Teams, and you can reference the Teams link that you used for your last Stowage Conference.
Okay, Teams link. Do you have the GMT date? I'll go back.
GMT 162 at 1455.
GMT 162, thank you. Great, thanks.
Then Chris on 2 for thermal amine.
Hey Chris, we are back with you. I'm sorry we didn't get you an answer before that longer LOS. Did you manage to move any of those hoses around and pull out the drawer anymore?
Negative. That vacuum line, you're going to have to disconnect it to try to get that drawer out at all. I mean, it goes right across and impacts all the cables, as I think you guys can see on the camera. Like, you can pull it out a tiny bit, but yeah, there's no way you're going to be able to get this out without removing and rerouting that vacuum line. I mean, unless there's something I'm missing, please tell me, but it seems pretty... I don't know if this cleaning has been done before, but I don't see how it would be possible with this vacuum line running the way it is.
Yeah, Chris, we copy. We were taking a look at some other images of execution of this. What we had seen was previously that silver hose would be pushed around down and to the right on the side so that you could pull it down, pull out the drawer further. And it's a very tight clearance, but exactly that hose right there would, when pushed down and right out from between the two white hoses, gave us a little bit of leeway to pull out the drawer just to access the vents we're looking for.
I was going to be really pulling on this hose. Is that something you want me to do? I mean, I would have to use significant force to pull it out to the side enough to get it around the drawer without rerouting. Disconnecting it, I don't think.
All right, copy that, Chris. Yeah, we definitely don't want to damage that hose. We're assuming that perhaps previously this was mated slightly differently to provide more slack in the past, and maybe we don't have that same slack this time around. We are taking a look at the possibility of demating that hose, but we'd have to do some safing. So let us follow up with you to see if we can manage that, and we will close the loop when we have an answer.
Okay, you would. The way it's kind of routed and twisted, without putting it, unless you put a significant amount of force in, on the cable, you're not going to be able to unroute it or untwist it up here. It just doesn't twist that way. I don't think there's a way with this vacuum line routed the way it is to get this out at all.
Okay, copy that. We are looking into any demating possibilities. Thanks, Chris.
Sounds good, yeah. Let me know. I'm just standing by.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris and thermalamine clean.
Chris on 2.
Chris, we've got a procedure and set numbers for demating when you're ready to copy. Safing is already in place for you to go ahead and execute.
Copy. I'm ready to copy.
All right, we're going to be looking at procedure 3.2.381. It's an original procedure, not XTP. We want to point you to the caution in step 2, and then please perform step 2.3.
3.2.381, we're going to read the caution in step 2 and perform 2.3.
That's a good read back. Thank you, sir.
Houston, Chris on 2 for thermal aiming.
Houston's with you, sir.
Yeah, so step 2.3 is having me disconnect the vacuum line from the CO2 locker side of thermal aiming. I think that's going to be a lot harder to do than disconnecting the other end of that vacuum line on the Z-panel side. Reason being these air ducts, the caution said they're flexible, but these do not appear to be flexible at all and seem like they have very little clearance around this QD, whereas the other side has plenty of clearance. And the other side is also where I think the twist in this line that gives a tricky routing would be sort of easier to come out. It's kind of a mess up here with all of the fluid lines, CCS lines in the vacuum line. I think disconnected from the Z-panel side instead of the CO2 locker side.
Chris, we like the recommendation. You are go to disconnect from the other side.
Okay, it worked. Houston, Chris on 2 for thermal aiming. Question.
Chris, Houston is ready for question.
I was originally going to try to reroute this to make it easy to open the drawer with this thing, but I don't think that makes a lot of sense. Is it a big problem to just have disconnecting this line as part of the cleaning procedure? Because I think that would be a lot, just make a lot more sense from the way this. I mean, the memory of this thing is just kind of crazy. You'd have it flexed in a very unnatural way to make it bend so that it goes outside the lateral confines of that drawer.
We appreciate the suggestion, Chris, and you kind of read our minds. We were considering an edit to the procedure to include an if block, and we see that sort of torsion in the hose there. So we have taken notes, and we will update it.
Yeah, copy out. Yeah, I mean, it takes like 30 seconds to disconnect the vacuum line, and like, if that avoids you like pushing or stretching a bunch of connectors, that seems well worth it to me.
We agree. Thank you very much. Station Houston on 2 for Chris. We're about to go into an LOS, so no response required. But if after you remate this QD, you can take a couple overview photos of the area, as well as any close-ups of the hoses and any other areas of interest that you think are important, we would definitely appreciate the photos for some extra SA here on the ground.
Hey, yeah, copy, Ollie. I'm trying to figure out the best way to reroute this cable. I mean, I don't understand why this vacuum line has a 90-degree bend at both ends. If it had a straight end at one end, it would be way better designed for routing in the geometry of what we got here. But So I see why it was all kind of twisted the way it was, because it's kind of what you have to do to get it on. It's it's really not a great sort of shape and routing.
And Chris, if it does end up helping you at all, you can disconnect from the other side as well as you try to remate.
Well, I think what I'm settling on is I'm just going to reconnect it the way it was connected. I really don't want to disconnect the other side because there's like air hoses that are really flush right up against the QD. Like you can actually see the outer like covering on the air hose has even been like rubbed a little bit from that QD. So I think that will also lead to some challenges and problems as well.
We will catch you on the other side of the Lewis.
Houston, Chris on 2 for Thermal Amine. I'm just wondering if it's good for me to do my power-up activity or if you need any more time for anything.
And Chris, we're with you on Space Ground 2. You are go in step 8, but please wait for our confirmation in 8.4. We still need to power it on.
Okay. Executing up until state step 8.4.
Good readback. Thank you.
And Houston, Chris on 2. I have complete up through 8.4. Waiting for your go.
And Chris, we're back with you on Space Ground 2. It is powered, and you are go to continue through 8.4.
Continue 8.4. Thank you.
And so, Station 15-2 for LSG questions.
We're with you on 2.
Yeah, quick question, because I have a LSG folding activity, and then I waited a little bit too much. So I did this during one of the LOS at 18:45 GMT, and I saw that I should have waited for your go, but I saw that the light was off, so I did it. But let me know if it was okay to do it.
Yeah, Sophie, no issues. We were going to carry a DPC topic to ask that you stow it, but when we saw you marked it complete, we struck that from the list. So thanks for getting it done, and thanks for notifying when it was stowed.
Okay, well, you're welcome. And yeah, it was stowed at 18:45-ish during the BCLS.
18:45, copy all.
Huntsville Station, Jackson 2 for MSG.
With you on 2 for MSG, Jack.
The laptop appears to be stuck in an endless shutting down loop. It just says shutting down with a spinning indicator on it. Happy to hard power cycle if that's what you want.
Yep, thanks for that data point, Jack. We'll take you up on the hard power cycle.
Houston Station on 2 for SSC.
Jessica, we're with you on 2.
Hey, Sami, SC25 was offline. I think that I switched them last night, and the Ethernet cable, like a lot of our Ethernet cables, has no tab on it, so it keeps falling out. It was pretty well taped into the old one, so I will just tape it better, I guess. But it should be online for you now.
Awesome. We are seeing it online, so I appreciate your help there. We'll go ahead and begin the work to enable hybrid graphics on your SSC25 and Chris's SSC13.
Okay, so we'll just be hands-off those for, you said, about 10 minutes or so?
Yes, about 10 minutes, and we'll call back to confirm completion.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Chris or Jessica and SSE.
Can 2.
Hey, Chris, sorry we didn't catch you before that long LOS, but we can confirm that hybrid graphics have been enabled, and you are go to use both of those SSE as needed.
Copy all. Thank you very much.